Today's daf is daf mem beis. Begin from the very top. The Mishnah says, "Amafkin malos etzel chavero," a person who gives money to someone to watch. Tzaron v'hivshilin acharav, he wraps them in some type of bag, purse, and hangs them behind him. Osha masim levno levito v'aktanim, or he hands them over to his son, his daughter, who are under the age of 13 and 12. V'nal b'fneim, and he locks the door in front of him. We had a machlokas a few days earlier, what b'fneim meant. Does b'fneim mean he locked his kids in the door in such a way? Or does it mean he locked the money in such a way, shelo kiroi? Somehow he didn't do such a very good shmir, and the money got stolen from him, so the halacha is chayef, he's chayef to pay. Why? Shelo shimer k'derech ha-shomer. He didn't do a shmir the way a normal shomer does, so he's responsible, he was posheya. But im shimer kider chashomim, if he did a proper shmira, so then pater he'd be pater if it gets stolen. We're referring to a shomer chin here. So Gemara explains bishma. This makes sense. Kula, all that makes sense. Shlo shimer kider chashomim. So el tzaron v'ifshilin achar of my havele lemevad. So all the examples of giving to the children or locking it in an inappropriate way. So that makes sense. It wasn't a proper shmira. But the guy put it in a bag, he was tsaron, and he hanged it behind him as he's walking. What wrong? What else could he have done? So Amar Rava, Rava says, Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, it says, V'tzarta akesa biyadecha, and you're supposed to wrap the money in your hand. Af al pishat tsurim yihi biyadecha. Even though they're wrapped together, they shouldn't be hanging behind you. It should always be biyadecha. So they discuss in the Rishonim, what happens if you're going away? Let's say you're traveling, you're going on business, and you're watching someone's money. Does it mean you have to carry it wherever you go? Can you lock it up in a safe at home? Or even when you're walking, do you have to mamash be holding it, so it means your right hand's always out of use? Or could you attach it to your baggage of some sort? So this is a discussion that the Rishonim have. So that's what it means. You have to do it, in other words, a proper shmir. If it's hanging behind you, that's not considered biyadecha. So then the Gemara says, another statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, liyolom yashlish adam esmaosav shlish bekarka shlish bekramati shlish tachas yado. A person should always divide his money up in three different ways. One third should go into a karka. Now, it's a machlok is what it means, bakarka. Does bakarka mean mamish buried in the ground, or does it mean invested in real estate? So Marasha suggests both of them, and they're both disadvantage of each of them. In the karka, we won't lose it. It's going to be there forever, but you're not going to make any money off it. In the real estate, you'll make a lot of money, but it's possible you could also lose a lot of money. So those are two interpretations what it means, shlish bakarka. And one that should be pragmatia, invested in some type of business or merchandise, and shlish tachas yado, and hold on to a third, leave it in the savings. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, another statement. He says, Liolam, rather, ain bracha mitsuya ela bedavar hasamar min ha'ayin. Bracha is only found in something that's hidden from the eye. Shinemar, how do you know this? The pasuk says, Yitzav Hashem itcha es habracha ba'asamecha. So what does basamecha mean? So tana debay rabbi. So that means basamecha somewhere that it's hidden. Bracha comes from something that's hidden from you. So why is that the case? So the Marsha says because ayin hara. If someone sees what you have, so it's going to be an ayin hara. So the Taras Chaim says it doesn't make sense because we'll see later on when a person goes to his field and wants to measure, there are various brachas he says. And the same concept happens. A person should say, before he sees what produce he has, I'm asking Hashem to give me a tefillah, so maybe some bracha could increase before he actually starts to count everything. So if the concern is really ayin hara, you can't give yourself an ayin hara. That can't be the reason. So Taras Chaim ends up saying it's not because of ayin hara, it just means a nes can happen, a nes nigla can happen. Meaning once I counted 100 and then I ask for a bracha, the nesim don't happen against the teva. The teva is 100, and for it to grow to 150 in the next second, it doesn't work like that. Nesim happen only when they're beseser. That's the idea. Not because of ayin hara, because nesim come in a way beseser. So they bring down from the poskim, let's say a person was given a certain bracha from a malach or from a navi or had a dream of a good dream, he shouldn't tell anybody about this because it's not going to be fulfilled. Once he tells people, leave it at beseser, and then once the dream or nevuah comes true, then you could tell people. But if you tell people first, oh, I was promised this to happen to me, then it's very possible it won't be followed through with. So then the Gemara says, Tana debay Rabbi Yishmael, Ein habracha mitzui el badavar shein ha'ayin sholetes bo, shenamar yitzav Hashem es itcha es habracha basamecha. So this formulation sounds like it's more about ayin hara, she'ein ha'ayin sholetes bo, that the ayin is not going to be sholet. That's the same lashon they use by ayin hara, but it's the same idea again that bracha is only mitzuya, something that's davar ha'samim min ayin, something that's hidden from the eye. The next price it tells us that Tanya Rabbanan Haholech Lamud Es HaGarana. A person goes out to measure his produce in the field. Omer, he should say the following. He Ratzon L'fanecha Hashem Elokeinu Shetishlach Bracha B'Masa Yadenu. Everything's done. There's no more work to be done. And he's walking out there. He's a few seconds away from his field. And it's appropriate to say a bracha. I'm asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu that he could send a bracha right now. B'Masa Yadenu. Hischil Lamud. But if he begins to measure, Omer, he should say Baruch HaShalech Bracha B'Kri Hazeh. And he says, he thanks Hashem, as opposed to asking, he says, Baruch Hashem to Shalech, he who sends down the bracha. But let's say, afterwards, he measures everything. And then he says a bracha, Sahareza Tfilah Shav, to ask for a bracha after the fact, after you've measured, that's a Tfilah Shav. Why? That a bracha is not found in something that's weighed, something that's measured, or something that's counted. You can't find the bracha, because that's already decided already. You already created that number. Bracha is only found in something that is hidden from the eye. Shenemar yitzav Hashem itzcha, it's a bracha basamech. That same pasuk again. So where else do we find this idea of tefillah shav? What comes to mind? I knew you'd say that. Other than you know, but you love brachas, but certainly what's the case? So you're coming into a city and you hear someone crying, you hear someone died, and you can't say, I am davening to Hashem, that's not my child. It's whatever happened, happened. It's too late. That's considered something that's already been counted, if you will. It's already it's already history. You can't ask for something to be undone. That's the idea of tefillah shav, asking for something that already happened to be changed.
Rabbi Yitzhak's the same shita who said before, Adam Amash Pesh Bekiso Koshah, was there any limitsias? Rabbi Yitzhak was the one who said that people are very cognizant how much money they have in their pocket, and he's also the name Rose says,
Biadecha.
Unless it's someone in Ayin. He's saying these halachas by Kasa.
The lot of statements of Rabbi Yitzhak, now that you're mentioning this, he's also the one who says that Kone Mashkom Shel Chavero to Tzedakah. Shunning other cases where you see Rabbi Yitzhak related to money. So he was a Choshe Mishpatit, I guess. Okay. So Gemara says, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Ksofim ein lehem shmir el bekarka. The best way to protect money is with karka. And that's, again, the two interpretations we said before, either meaning hiding it in the ground, burying it below, or that means investing in a real estate. Amar Rava. Rava says, Umodi Shmuel. Shmuel agrees, though, Be'er Shambis Beina Shmashos Delo Atshechu Rabbanim. So in terms of this point here, Rashi says around four narrow lines down, Ein lam shmira, de'im lo shamarin v'nignu p'shia. So with I guess Shmuel is saying literally the money, if you're watching money, not talking about investments now, I guess, hiding the money, the best place to hide it is in the ground. But let's say it's Erev Shabbos and you were given money, mamash bein shmashos, so there's no time to bury it. So then if something happens, you hide it in your house somewhere, then you're not considered posher, you didn't have time to bury it. The Shaha L'Motzei Shabbos, if let's say after Motzei Shabbos, you waited the amount of time Shiro L'Makvirinu, the amount of time it takes to bury, and you haven't buried it yet, and then it gets stolen, V'lo Kavirinu, you didn't bury it, then you're Machai, then you have to. Meaning the first second after Shabbos, you're supposed to bury the money. And if you don't, 10 minutes pass and you don't, you're considered responsible. Now, they bring a ride from this Gemara. There's a discussion in the Rishonim whether a person's allowed to do Malacha prior to saying Havdalah. So the Rishonim Paskin, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, if you said Havdalah B'Tfilah, but you didn't yet say it B'Kos, so then you're allowed to do Malacha. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch Paskin. So they bring a ride from here. They should have really, the real shear should have been the amount of time it takes to say Havdalah and then to bury it. The guy should have had an extra 5 minutes to bury it. From the fact that the Gemara doesn't say 5 minutes to do a Havdalah, sounds like you could do Malacha immediately after Shabbos is over, bury the money, and then say Havdalah afterwards. So this is a ride they bring from the Gemara, that you can do Malacha prior to saying Havdalah. So then the Gemara says, Vi Tzurba Mirabanan. Let's say this Shomer is a Talmud Chacham, who Savar Dilma Mibayi Lei Zuzei Lavdalasa. So maybe he needs to find money for Havdalah. So in this case, he wouldn't be able to have time to bury it. He has to go find money for Havdalah. So now this line sounds like he would be able to find money first for Havdalah prior to burying it. Why would the guy need to find money? Because perhaps the Talmud Chacham doesn't have any money, so he needs to find money for Havdalah first. So that's the best way to, again, hide and protect the money is in the karka. So then the Gemara says, V'ha'ina, but nowadays, the Shchichi Gishushai, what's Gishushai? Look at Rashi. Fascinating, I didn't know this existed so early in history. Kshushai says Rashi is Megashishin Bekarka Beshudim Shal Barzel. Lahakir makam shetacht of chalal.
The guys on the beach,
exactly. With those metal detectors. Going on these, checking them. So they had a very sophisticated type of metal detector. So they look for it. So now you have no longer a place to hide it in the karka. So then, ein lem shmir. So now where are you supposed to hide it? Elish b'shmei karka. You're supposed to hide it somehow in the beams. On the rashid begag mitachta. Right below the roof and the beams going across the house. That's where you're supposed to hide it. So then the Gemara says, "V'ha'ina." But nowadays, the shchichi prumai. Yeah, prumai. Who's prumai? Says Rashi, it's referring to shovrei tikkur. People would go around and just break people's ceilings and rooftops. So then you can't hide it there anymore. So then the Gemara says, "You know what the best shmir is nowadays is ein lehem shmir ella bene orve." So what's bene orve? Between the Rashi bein shiros habina and bakosa. So between the 2x4s in the wall, that's where you're supposed to hide it. You know, you knock on the wall and it's the empty area. That's where you're supposed to hide the money. But then the Gemara says, nowadays, ha'idna, the shchichi tfuchai, who's tfuchai? Lashon of tefach, probably. Tefach, to hit. Did I skip a line? Let's see. I'm a rava, rusta, fine. So right now, you're supposed to hide it in the between the shiros, between the 2x4s and the wall. So then I'm a rava, says, when Moved Shmuel, Shmuel agrees, bakosel, if you hide it in the wall, that would work as well. Even Shmuel would agree, even though Shmuel earlier said, Ein lehem shmir ela bakarka, he does agree bakosel would work as well. But then the Gemara says, Vaha'idna, nowadays, the shchichi tfuchai, what's tfuchai? Says Rashi, metapchin bakosel, they knock on the wall, leida im yesham chalal, to knock where exactly they like, hit the nail in, so you look for the 2x4s, they look for the hollow parts, say, oh, there must be some goodies inside, and they open up the walls. So now the kosel wouldn't be a good enough shmir. So then the Gemara says, Ein lehem shmir ela betefach hasamach lekarka. No longer on the surface of the karka, but you have to go to tefach deep. So I guess a tefach deep in the ground, the metal detectors can't detect it if it's so far below. Or a tefach in the deep in the beams. I guess also when they break down the roofs and the ceilings, they couldn't find it there either.
Tefach karka here, they translated it as within the floor. I think maybe within the house somehow, not outside.
But we said karka above as well. So either way, whether it's karka in the house, it has to be the same place, either inside or outside. Which would then be interesting that the people would go in other people's houses to start doing the metal detecting. I imagine like you saw on the beach. You'd hide it somewhere in the backyard. Okay. Now look at Tosis on the bottom here. Dibra Maschel She'ein HaKelev Yachal. Oh, actually we didn't do that one yet. We'll wait on that one. Fine. The Gemara says, Amalei Rav Acha, Beredir of Yosef, the Rav Ashi, Hosam Tanan, in regards to the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim, Chamet Shenafla Lav Mapoles Harehu Kumuvuar. Let's say you have a house that fell down, so it's considered any chametz that may have been there is considered burned. I had the shiloh when it came to Hurricane Sandy, did I have to do a bedika? If I wasn't living in the place was flooded, did you have to do bedika? So if the place was really destroyed in such a way, it's like a mapolis, so then you don't have to look for chametz. It's considered kemavua, already burned. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Omer, kol she'ena kelav yachal l'chapes achrav. Now any food that is not accessible to a dog, that's considered burned. But if it's somewhere where the dog could sniff it out and get it, then you would have to seek it out. So it asks the Gemara, Tana kama chapisa zakel, how far could a dog dig and find the chametz? Gimel tvachim, 3 tvachim deep. That's how far you have to go. So halchamai, in regards to our halacha of the digging in the karka, halchamai, mi ba'inan shlosha tvachim alo. Do you also need 3 tvachim with regards to the burying the money, or it's enough to have 1 tvach? So Amalei Hasa Mishim Recha Beinan Shlosha Tvachim. With regards to the chametz and the dog, it's dependent on smell. So 3 tvachim is what's needed, a further distance. Hacha Mishim Ichsuye, here in regards to just covering up the money, Me'ena from the eye, Lo Beinan Shlosha Tvachim, you don't need 3 tvachim. So how much do you need? Kama? Amarah from Misichra, that's where he came from, Tefach, it's enough to have just 1 tefach deep when it comes to hiding the money. So Tosis on the bottom asks, Shaina Kelv Yochel Lachapis Akrav Im Tomar, he asks, Halo Pater Livdok, Chor Mipnei Sakonis Akrav. You can't go into look and dig in holes because it's a concern a scorpion might come out and bite you. It's dangerous. So how could you look after Chametz if there's a Mapolis here? Who knows what type of animals and creatures are crawling there? So Tosis answers, V'yei Shlomar, Dehacha Yochel Lefanos HaMapolis. No, what you could do is you could take the whole garbage of the house and just move it somewhere else. And flip it over in such a way without having to dig through, just move it over and scare away all the creatures, and that way you could get rid of the chametz. Or Inami, alternatively, he suggests, Hacha Shayesham Chametz Bevadai Enopatim Mishim Chashash as Akrev. Now, if you know there's Vadai Chametz, so then the Chashash, a suffix of Akrev, won't remove you from your responsibility of finding chametz. But if it's only a Safek Chametz, you don't know if you have Chametz there. So then you would be Pater, since it's only a Safek Chametz. And there's a Safek Chashash of the Akrev, so then in that case you would be Pater. But if there's Vadei Chametz, you'd be Chayv to look for it. So now the Gemara says the last eight lines of the Gemara, of the Amud here, Hahu Gavra, there's once a person to Afkid Zuze Gavi Chavre. He had given money to his friend to watch over. Osvinu Bitzrifa. Durivani. He placed in a trif a some type of tent made of Rashi says here we go here. Bais katan agul kimin kova, a circular house, shosin sayade ofos larov, that hunters, bird hunters would sit in and cover themselves up to catch birds. So he hid it in this trif. And Ignov ended up getting stolen from here. So Amar Rav Yosef says, Afa Gavdulinin Ganva Nithirosa, even though this is considered protected from Ganavim, it was considered a good Shmira, but Linin Nura Pshuasahi, but in regards to a fire, this is very flammable apparently, so it wasn't considered protected, and therefore he's considered Pshuasahi, and Have ends up being Tchilasa B'Pshia V'Sofa Bonus Chayv. When you put it in this place, it wasn't a protected place, it's Roy, it's potential to be burned. And even though the Trif didn't get burned, it was stolen, which is a onus. We paskin here, Tchilasa B'Shia, even though Sofa was onus, even though it was stolen, which is onus, he's still chayiv, because he's poshe in the initial shmir. Others say, Ikadamri Afa Gav Dilinian Nura P'shiasahi, even though with regards to catching fire, he was poshe, but Linian Ganav Nitirosahi, with regards to protecting from being stolen, he did do a good Nitirosahi, he did do a good shmir. And therefore, it says Tchilasa b'Pshia Sofa Bonus Pater. Even though the beginning was done b'Pshia, in the end of the day, Lamais was stolen, which is considered onus. The Shomer is off the hook. What's the bottom line? Hilchasa Tchilasa b'Pshia V'Sofa Bonus. He would be Chayv. Gemara now says Ahu Gavra. There's another person Da'afkid Zuze Gavi Chavre. He gave money to his friend to watch. Amrle Havli Zuze. So the guy says, the Mafkid says, I want my money back. Amrle Lo Yadana Heicha Yisvina. I don't remember where I placed it. Says the Gemara, we saw this earlier in the Masechta, Os l'kame d'Rav, they went to Rav to ask who's, is he chayv or not? He doesn't remember where it is. Amrle, kol lo yadana, p'shuasahi, zil shalom. Anyone who says, I don't know where I placed it, is considered posheya b'davar, and he's chayv to pay the money. Another story, hahu gavr d'afkid zuze gavi chavre, a person gave money to his friend to watch, ashleminu le'ema. So he ends up giving it. Rashi says Ashlamina doesn't mean to pay, it means Masalima. He gave it over to his mother. The Shomer gave it to his mother to watch. Vosvina, and she placed it Bikartalisa, which is some type of box. And Vignav in the box, so the money gets stolen. So what's the who's responsible? Is the Shomer responsible? Is the mother responsible? So Amar Rava says, Hey Chidat ni Dino Dina Lahaidina. How do I judge such a case? Namele Diday, if I say to the Shomer Zil Shalim, go pay, you shouldn't have given it to your mother, you're responsible, it was stolen. So Amar, so the response is, you could say, Kol mafkid al das isho ubanav hu mafkid. We have a klal we saw earlier, anybody who gives money to an individual, he could give it to his family, to his wife, his children, and seemingly even to his mother. So the Shomer is not responsible, he did everything he could do, he gave it to a ben das. So then, Neimele le'ema, maybe we should tell the mother, the zil shlima, you should go pay. Amar, so she says, lo. She says, lo amar li delav didei ninu dak rinu. He didn't tell me that this wasn't his, I would have buried it. Had he told me this is somebody else's money, he just gave me the money, here mom, watch it. Had he told me that this was someone else's money, I would have been more careful, I would have hid it in the proper way as a shomer. I didn't know, I thought this is his money, so I just left it on the counter. So the Gemara says, I lost the place for a second. Neimalei, amai, lo amrislei. Now we say back to the shomer, why didn't you tell your mom that this is somebody else's money? So Amr says to the Dayanim, more so, had I told her it was mine, she would have been more careful. Oh, this is my son's money, I'm really going to take care of it. So if she was assuming it was really my money, she really should have hid it in the karka. So my mom is really at fault here. So El Amar Rava says, Mishtaba ihu dehanu zuze ashleminu lima. So first we make the shomer make a shvua that he passed over the money to his mother. And then the mother takes a shua, tehanu zuzi, that this money, osvino bekartilisa, v'ignov upater, that she placed it in the box, and then she would be considered pater. Now the question is, why is she pater? If she didn't place it bekarka, she placed it in a box, why is she off the hook here? So I think what we're saying, even though we said earlier, the best shmir above is considered karka, it doesn't mean if you hide it somewhere else, you're considered poshe b'davar, but if you really want the most ideal shmir, it's going to be in the karka. But there are other locations, and a safe is still considered a good place. So she did place it in a safe place, and even though it wasn't the karka, she still would be considered pater. Okay. Marnal says, Ahu, apuchapa. Apuchapa is the yasme of the orphans. The zavin lehu tura liyasme. So they bought a ox for the yasomim umasre lebakra, and they handed it over to the shomer, a person who watches over cattle. So lohabelai kachi vishine lemeichel umes. The apparently this ox didn't have any teeth. What's kachi mean?
Molars.
Molars or teeth to eat, and it died because it couldn't eat. It couldn't chew the grass. So Amar Rami bar Chama heichin nidainu dainu lahaidina. How do we judge such a case? So namely lapachabas, we say to the apachabas zeal shilim, go pay back the yisomim because the animal died. Amar, they're going to say anu levakra misarte. We gave it over to a cattle leader, whatever it's called. Namely, so then they go over to the namely lebakra. We go over to the head of the cattle. Zeal sham, you should pay. Amar, he says ana bahade turei okimte achle. It's a line here, Bikre. What's the line here? A second. So Ani Bahadei Tori Alkimte. I place this Torah among all the other shvarm, all the other oxen there, and Ochle Shadei Le. I threw food in front of the ox. I didn't know that this ox. I've got hundreds of oxen. I didn't know that this particular ox wasn't eating. So they should have told me. So Michte. Let's understand the case further now. Bakra is a shomer sachar, the yasmehu, he's being paid to do this. Ibaile la'ayune, he should have looked into it and paid attention to each animal, particularly the animal that he was watching for the yisomim. So, i'ikab sheda the yasmi hachanami. You're right. If the yisomim were going to be at a loss, ein hachanami, the shomer sachar would have been responsible. But v'hacha b'maya skin, what's the case here? The lekab sheda the yasmehu. The case where there was no loss to yisomim, why? Because what happened was that after the Yisomim met this the shore, and they returned the money back to him, right? The person who sold the initial shore without teeth to him, he paid the money back to the Yisomim. So if that's the case, it's Elamai Katan. So what's the tain here? If the Yisomim are getting the money back, so who's being towing? So the Gemara explains in Mar de Tura Katayin, the seller of the ox who sold it, he lost an ox now, and now he paid back the Yisomim, he's at a loss now, he lost an animal that just died. He wants to be towing. It's the Abba Chappas' responsibility, he killed my ox, or the head of the cattle killed my ox. So the Gemara says, Ibar le Leodino. So wait a second, the Abba Chappas should have let him know that the shore wasn't eating and should have returned the shore back to him, to the seller. So the Gemara says, "My modinin lei, what could he have told him? Me the other the mekachtaos have it. He could have told him that was a mekachtaos. Where's the Rashi here? Is there Rashi here? So who's making the taina here? So again, we're saying that the seller of the ox is being towing here on the apachapas because his ox was died in the possession of the apachapas here. And the apachapas should have let the mocher know that the animal wasn't able to eat. So then the Gemara asks, what could the apachapas, my modinah, like, what could the apachapas tell the mocher? Me the other, the mekachtaos have. Didn't he know that it was a mekachtaos, that the seller knew that there's no teeth to the ox? What kind of taina is he making? So the Gemara says, no, what's going on here is, it's referring to Besaf Sira, Dezavin Mehacha, Umezabein Lehacha. What's going on here? So Rashi says, Safsira Kone, Umocha Behemas Beshuk, Beyom Shekana Moche. It's referring to a person who sells oxen to Yisomim, and he sells oxen in general, and he normally buys from one place and sells to another place. Exactly, he didn't know. He was so busy buying and selling these oxen, he was unaware. He didn't know about every single ox that he had. So therefore, the mocher makes a shua. He didn't know that this ox was missing teeth. And therefore, the cattle leader had to pay the ox because he was responsible. He should have been paying attention as the Shomer Sacher, watching over this animal, this ox. He should have been aware that it wasn't eating and should have told the Mocher, and they could have undone the sale and he could have returned back that ox to where he initially got it from. So therefore, the Mocher is responsible. He pays Dmei Basar Bazul. He pays not the full amount of an ox, but a cheap amount of the ox. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says, look at Tosas rather. Tosas says, what does it mean, Dmei Basar Bazul, cheap amount? So Rashi, Perish Rashi, Hitil Pshara Beinayim. You make a Pshara. You know, we really don't know who's owed money. It's unclear in this case. So make a Pshara. We'll do 50%. The ox costs $1,000, so we'll make the Ro'eh pay $500. Rabbeinu Tam argues and says, Perish Didin Gamarhu. No, this is actually the right din. He says the right din. Why? Dim Hayah Modiu. Had the Apachavas let him know right away, he would have shechted it then. The owner, the initial mocher, would have taken back the ox and shechted it and had the meat to sell. Now he's got a dead piece of ox, which he can't do anything with it. So therefore, the Apachavas is fully responsible. And he could, but why Bazul? Why only the Basar Bazul? Because if I was returned back the ox, I would have shechted it. Apparently that money would have only, I would have sold it off very cheaply because I couldn't wait any longer for another day to sell it. I couldn't wait any longer.
Very skinny cow to begin with.
I'm not sure it was skinny or not, but then it wasn't like the Yom HaShuk necessarily, where everyone was looking, there wasn't a high demand, there wasn't a day of a Shuk. So you need to sell it for a cheap price in order to get people to buy it. So that's the value that the Apotropos owes.
It's the Apotropos or the Bakra?
The Bakra, I mean, the Bakra would pay,
but
yeah.
Shouldn't it be the Apotropos? We said that the tiny goes in the Apotropos says, but I knew it was a Mekachto, so I didn't worry very much about this animal.
Right,
the Bakra would get all of a sudden your responsibility.
Because he's Shomer Sacha, he should have been the one really responsible for it. But the Apachapas, I don't think, was aware of this either, though. He just sent it off to the Apachapas, doesn't know how to take care of an ox. He's just overseeing the finances. So he sends it over to the Bakra, and the Bakra is the one who should have been paying attention, I think.
Why doesn't the mailman go after the person who sold it to him?
The first mocher,
yeah,
who got the ox. So it could be he could have, perhaps, maybe he doesn't know who he got it from even. There was so much, it seems from Rashi, there's so much activity going on there. Remember who you bought from, which guy. You know what you have now. Where it came from, I don't know. Maybe that's part of the Taino also, I don't know.
Right.
Okay. Gemara now says, Ahu, Gavra da'afkid kshusa, Gavi Chavra. A person had given a kshusa to his friend to watch. What's a kshusa? So says Rashi, Homlin, Shematilin toch hashechar, some type of hops or something you'd place in the beer. They say hops there? Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Hops, okay. They place in the beer to create the beer. So he gave it over to the guy to watch. Hava le didideh nami karya de kshusa. So now this Shomer had his own pile of hops as well in his house. Amar le lesarse, he says to his servant there, mihai rami azil. So I want you to start using my hops to make some beer now. However, rama meidach, he ended up taking the hops from the other guy that he was watching. So Amar Rav Amar Mehechi Nidaini Daniel Haidina, how do we judge such a case? Who's responsible? He used the wrong hops. He used the guy's hops who he wasn't supposed to. Namele Lididei, we say to the initial Shomer, the Baal HaBayis here, Zil Shalom, you go pay. So he's going to say, Amar Amrile Mehai Rami. So I told my Shliach to go do the other hops. He made the mistake, not me. I didn't do anything wrong. So then if you go over to the Saris and Namele Lassar say, Zil Shalom, you have to pay because you chose the wrong hops. Amarle, he says, Lo, Amarle, Mehairam, Mehairam, Tirmi. That's not my fault. My master didn't tell me to use these versus those. He just told me to use hops. I didn't know that he was watching someone else's hops. Savi, Deshahi, Shirla, Suyele, Vlo, Isile. If he waited out the time it takes to go get, and he didn't, Galia Daite, Denichle, Nichadle, but it's fine. He's happy with this. What's going on here? Look at Rashi, first wide line. E, Deshah, Shir. Gemara is going to ask a question in just a moment. Parach, im hayak kri shelo karov v'shapikadam rachok. If the owner's hops were very close, and the one that he was watching was very, very far away, v'shah ha-shliach shir mahalich derech ha-karov lo aisi. If, let's say, it's 30 seconds away, and it's 30 seconds past, and really a minute for him to go back and forth, it's like 5 minutes, he hasn't come back yet. So now the Baal HaBayis should have realized something's going on here. He's probably going to the wrong pile. So in which case, he'd be at fault here. So then, Galadaite, so again, the Gemara says, it's Galadaite de Nichale. He's happy, the Baal HaBayis is happy that he chose the other person's hops. So it must be a case, but Delosha, he wasn't waiting. He got there within 60 seconds like he was supposed to because his Kri was closer. So that must be the situation here. So then the Gemara says, what's the big deal? So in the end of the day, my pshita ika, what's the loss to the guy? So we use his hops, so we'll return him back my hops. So we'll just swap. What's the big deal? V'halka mishar shilei. So what does that mean? Rashi says, V'halka mishar shilei, v'halo hu nischar hakshus shal pikadon shetil b'sheikha v'shlo omeid v'shalamim mishalo. So what's happening? What's the big deal? He ends up using the nifkad's hops, and he ends up making beer out of this. So what he could do is, he could give his own hops instead, and just switch it around. So the Gemara says, Amar of Sama, B'rei D'Rava, D'Hava Shichra Chala. No, what happened was that the sheikha that he started making with the other guy's hops ended up going bad. So now the nifkad, the shomer, didn't gain any value now. He doesn't want to give his hops now, which are still good, in place of the other guy's hops. He's blaming the shliach now for making the mistake. I'm not giving him my hops. I got bad beer now. I need to use my hops to make myself good beer. So Rav Ashi Amar, b'kisei u'mishalim le mekisei. What's going on here? What does kisei mean? So it says Rashi in the bottom here. Last Rashi in Membeis. B'kisei shehayisa kishos grua v'kotim muravimba. Because that guy had worse. The Baal Bayis, who had worse one? Let's see. The Mafkid's hops were an inferior type of hops. They had some thorns in them. So they weren't as good. So, and therefore, he doesn't want to switch the hops. It's not worth it. So what you should do is you should at least pay the amount of the value. Look at Rashi. To make shos shel kotim lefi mashish biach. So what's going on here? So let's see. If we're saying here that the mafkid had inferior type of hops because it was mixed together with the kotim, the some types of thorns. And therefore, it didn't really, it didn't increase in value because it was an inferior type. So therefore, the nifkad didn't want to hold on to this guy's hops because he had worse. The nifkad, the shomer, wanted to use his own hops, which were better quality. So therefore, we're saying what he should do is really he should pay back these hops and take the difference away from the shomer. How's it saying there in the article?
It says he pays the amount by which the value of the beer increased through the introduction of the hops.
Say it again that he's the shomer pays.
He must pay the owner the value of the inferior hops, which are mixed with the thorns, i.e., he pays the amount by which the value of the beer increased through the introduction of the hops. And it sounds like Rashi.
Not yeah. Much. He doesn't pay
much. So I'm saying, who's keeping? So the beer he just made. So he used the other guy's beer. So he has the beer now. Who gets that beer?
He keeps his beer, but he pays him the value.
Yeah,
he was a little bit better because of the hops, but not as much as he would have liked.
Uh-huh. So now he pays back money to the mafkid, and he holds on to his other hops as well. He holds on to his hops. He holds on to the inferior beer and just pays the guy money and walks away.
And then drinks
all my okay.